Welcome back, everyone, to our Groundskeeper Chat series. I'm your host, Meg Krueger, and we have a familiar face to the channel joining us. Not only a familiar face to the Groundskeeper Chat series, but also to the industry. Crystal Wallace has been a household name of sorts over the past few years, and he's made a recent change that we're excited to hear more about. So without further ado, Crystal, take it away, introduce yourself, and tell us a little bit about your new gig.
As you said, I'm Crystal Wallace. I've been around. This is going to be year 11 in turf now.
Wow.
I started probably senior year summer, and then started in the golf business.
Okay.
My dad got me started in it at a local golf course, and then spent the last 9 years in baseball and football, and made the change back to golf this year. And it's been really, really well so far. I'm here at Terrace Park Country Club in Cincinnati now, and couldn't be happier with the move.
That's awesome. And yeah, we're definitely excited that it was a move that is benefiting you and your family. And that's great news. And, you know, I wanted to get a little bit more background. You mentioned it a little bit there. Like, what is your origin story with turf? You know, how did you come to find this as like a career option? You know, what kind of outlets were you getting information about the turf industry from before, you know, you were a member of it?
Not really any. I think that's one thing that I'm a big advocate of is us trying to get it out there more to people. Because without my dad telling me, you know, about what a good summer job would be, and my dad being in the country club business his entire life, and using him as that resource, I don't think I would have ever known about it too much, you know. And it's been a question for a while now, and I've had plenty of conversations with people of how can we get it out there more. And when I do talk at universities or places like this, and podcasts and things like that, it's constantly, I keep reiterating myself that we just have to be louder because, you know, I think it should be in vocational schools. I think it should be that we should be going to high schools and talking about it because, you know, I got my start that senior summer on a grounds crew. But when I went there, I didn't realize it was such a huge industry and that I would make hundreds of friends, that I would value those lifelong friendships, and, you know, and that I can do this for life. And when I walked onto the golf course for the first time, and I, you know, I was a kid that was planning on going to college for business, and, you know, I had never heard of this industry before or that I could make a career of it forever. And then I started talking to the assistant superintendent and the head superintendent at the time at the municipal golf course that I was at, and they were telling me everything that you can do with it. And started talking to my parents about it, and kind of hit the ground running from there. But like I said, I think that's one thing that I advocate more immensely, that we just need to be louder and just keep trying to get youth into our industry.
For sure. And I like the way that you phrase that, you know, just being louder and making waves in a sense so that, you know, we get that visibility, because it's so important for, you know, not even the current labor shortage, but just longevity. And also, I think it will help some of these veterans. You know, the sooner we get a next generation in here, the veterans are going to feel better handing off the torch. They can move into different positions. They can become more hands off. And it, you know, also kind of solves that work-life balance issue as well there. So I love how you phrase that. And I know you to be an advocate for that. So, you know, something that I find funny is when you were with the Reds, like I would go to your social channels if I wanted an update on something before I would ever go to theirs. And no hate against them, but you were reporting, you know, what you guys were doing that day on a daily basis almost. Or right. Anytime I wanted to see, you know, great crew culture and reflect that out to the industry, you know, I would be like, I'm going to retweet something Crystal did last week. Or you were always popping up. And, you know, was that really an organic effort, or is that something that you put a lot of planning into beforehand? Or, you know, how did that come about to be something that, you know, that was such a part of your, you know, your previous gig?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just off the cuff, just because I love doing what I'm doing. And, you know, I just like putting some of the stuff out there that we're doing and, you know, bouncing ideas off of people. I tell people, you know, it's one thing with my Twitter that I'm very careful about, is the things that I do tweet about, just because I do tweet a lot of work stuff. And even here, and because I found ways that, you know, that's ways that we can hire people from. I've gotten DMs before about it, of saying, hey, are you guys hiring? And it's become a good way to try and get people, new employees in. And so I said, I'm very well said it, but, you know, Steve did the same thing when he was there, and just kind of learned from him and to put out there and what we were building and the type of team chemistry, like you said, that we have. And a lot of it just comes off the cuff. Like I said, I'm very careful about what I say and try not to, you know, I don't post politics, any of that stuff. I think just because I think I've told people before, like, it's funny that to me, it's almost like the turf world uses Twitter as our LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of, you know, how I've seen some of these younger guys coming up, or found them and messaged them as well, saying, hey, do you have an internship this year? Or would you be interested in coming with us, or anything like that? And using it along platforms like that.
Definitely. And like, you definitely created visibility for not only yourself as a groundskeeper, but as the whole Reds crew. You know, you guys were, I think, like you said, credit to Stephen Lord as well. Like, he really created a culture that people wanted to talk about and share. But, you know, through your Twitter, we got to see like the ins and outs of it. And I loved, especially like during COVID, when you guys, you know, we're getting some of that ESPN coverage for, you know, being a crew. And it was like, oh, we in the turf world, like, we were already, you know, in on the best kept secret, like that crews in baseball and crews in the turf industry, like, have that family atmosphere and, you know, are able to make something as, you know, an empty stadium fun. And loud and exciting. And so I love that, you know, that's been an important factor of your role. But, and I saw that, like you mentioned, you've already kind of taken it once over to the golf side as well. And I saw you were tweeting out about, you know, internships and things like that. So have you found any success? Like, have you found any differences in the two industries and how they interact?
I don't think so. I think, you know, everybody is just on both sides. Everybody is willing to help at all times. People want to talk about what they're doing at their courses as well. And, you know, I would say success that way is, I think right now, I think everybody is struggling to find employees and, you know, and that's not just the turf thing right now. I think that's, you know, just America and what the day we're living in right now. So, you know, I guess that's a plug saying, yes, we're hiring, because I think everybody is looking for that right now.
Yeah.
You know, as I was even sitting waiting for you to start this, I saw, you know, a couple of people posting tweets about that right now, saying that they're currently trying to get staff, just because everybody is understaffed. Overall, I think both industries, both sides of the industry per se, really love talking about what they're doing and how they're creating ways for their course / field to be better.
Definitely. And how has, you know, your visibility on social and also just, you know, face-to-face, you were an active member of like different, you know, conferences and things like that. How has that visibility and, you know, that sharing element that you're willing to have really impacted you for the better?
Immensely, because I think putting myself out there and networking with people such as, like you've already named earlier, Todd Schaefer or Tom Nielsen, and getting with people like that and being a young kid at the time and having those guys to back me, Matt Duncan, James Halaverty, you know, all those guys, and meeting them, Jake Tyler, and them getting me where I am now, you know, and building and my first couple of years and calling them every day almost, and annoying them, asking them questions of, hey, am I doing this right? Do I do this now? And I think marketing myself and putting myself out there and going up to people and talking to them and just getting out there. And I think, same on Twitter, I can't tell you how many times I've made friends just by starting to DM each other through Twitter in the industry. Dan Francis, who is a big name in the golf industry now, him and I became friends just by starting to chat on Twitter. And that's and that's kind of, I don't know, I've never shied back from that, no matter where I was working or anything. And if someone messages me, I always answer. It might take a little bit just because I might be busy doing something. But, I think that's the biggest thing is just to continue to put yourself out there at all times.
Definitely. And to talk a little bit about the logistics, because there are definitely different ways that people can go about this as far as like setting up a personal profile or setting up a profile for their crew. What was kind of your decision behind, setting up a personal profile aside from setting up like one for the course or for the crew?
I've always posted for my own, and we just kind of left it at that. And I think Steve did it as well, and just kind of left it at his, and doing it there, because I think kind of cool to look back. It's, like I said, it's kind of our LinkedIn, and I think it's just a way to look back in the last couple of years and see everything I've posted. And I think I've done that to some people as well, as I'll go through there and if they've applied and see if they post things that they've done and what they've done or what they've accomplished. And so for me, I think it's like kind of a collage of a resume a little bit. Yeah. So I think it's kind of cool to do that. And like you said, now it's starting to get flooded with golf course pictures and pictures of my golden doodle that comes out here and runs around like a wild man. So yeah.
I love it. No one could be upset about that. That's for sure.
Right.
Yeah. And you kind of touched.
He's loving the change as well.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Mad about it.
And you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but since you went with like the personal profile route, you have the opportunity to share a lot of like your personal beliefs, personal things, but you kind of touched on how you like to stray away from, politics and things like that. What's really the motive behind that?
I think just making sure, because of this day and age, you got to be careful with what you say. And I think you never know. And with being at that level, Major League Baseball, at a country club now, in the NFL before, minor league baseball, even then, I think, people don't understand how many people see your profile and looking at it. And GM could be looking at my profile right now. I don't know. Yeah. But again, that just goes back to the fact of, if a member sees something that I post and if it offends them, that could affect my job or a player. When I was with Major League Baseball, I just stray away of doing all that just because, I love what I do and I don't want to hinder that at any moment. So.
Definitely. And, I think that's a great point in the sense that even though it's a personal profile, you're still a reflection on, who you're working for, who you're representing. And it's always just, it's maybe better to toe that line. And you wouldn't put something like that on a resume. And so it's like, right, if it's a working resume, then kind of treat it the same way in that sense. But, in the same wave, like the turf community is very supportive. When people have hardships or they are looking for help, it's also a community that they can reach out to. And I know, something that a lot of people, lean on is kind of being able to reach out to that voice out there in the turf industry and, give them personal updates as well on that side. So there's like that give and take a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's, there'll be people that will just post pictures and say, hey guys, does anybody have any ideas for this? And I can't tell you the amount of people that go and just reply to it and with all their different ways of doing it and trying to help each other out. And that's what I mean. It's such a small, tight-knit family and people don't realize it. And once you get in, it's a great family to be a part of, and everybody has each other's backs.
Definitely. And, you know, you've talked a little bit about the things that, you know, you found to be successful with this, as far as, you know, it kind of served as a resume for you. It definitely served as a way for you to network and connect with others, get help when you needed it. But if there were somebody that wanted to like start tomorrow, and start branding themselves, start getting that visibility for either themselves, their crew, their course, you know, where would you suggest they start?
Just being open. And I think, you know, creating a good picture for yourself, like, you know, like of your courses and everything you're doing, and just, and, you know, creating that working lifestyle Twitter profile, I guess, per se, you know, just, you know, like I said, being out there and getting involved with people and mentioning, you know, back and forth with other people and always conversating and never shying back. I mean, I know sometimes it's hard to get out there and you don't want to sound wrong, but I don't think there really is a wrong way. I think everybody has their own way of getting the job done, and, you know, to not shy away from that.
And if you have a cute dog or kid, that couldn't help either.
That usually really gets you going.
My boss and I, we started our profiles around like the same time. We run a Pioneer account, but then we both were like, oh, maybe we should make personal profiles as well. And he's like, it's just not fair. Like, you have a cute kid that you can post on there. And he's like, yeah. I'm not working with that yet.
No, that works. Or like July 4th last year when we put Todd on the mower and we all around him. Like, yeah, pictures like that usually springboard you into bigger things.
Definitely. I love that photo. That photo, like, it could go down in history.
I think so. I think that's a pretty iconic one. That one, or like there's one of us in 2020 with me and Steve, with me in Ohio State helmet on and Steve with his Michigan State flag. There's a couple of pictures that could really set up the tone, I guess, per se. Yeah,
definitely. You wouldn't even need a caption. You can just post it.
No. Yeah. Sometimes I think that's what I've done, is sometimes it just doesn't need words.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for doing this. You know, as you said, we share a similar goal and just, you know, being louder and trying to get different avenues out there that people can take to be a part of this industry and be a vocal part of the industry. So I appreciate your commentary and some of your success stories that you were able to share.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me on, and anytime.
Awesome. And good luck this season as things start to warm up around here and members take to the course.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, Christo.